Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. A lot more to get through in today's show. We're going to introduce a new segment in a bit where we walk down memory lane. Today's theme of memory lane is let them eat cake moments, and I think that will be very fun. I put that out on Twitter for people. I said, I want some old examples of politicians making snobby gaffes like Jen Psaki did yesterday when she said the tragedy of the treadmill not arriving on time. And at first, people were saying recent ones about, you know, COVID and the French Laundry and Governor Gavin Newsom. And then I said, no, I want older ones. Think 90s, 2000s. It's a trip down memory lane. And then what happened was it became a thread about every single thing John Kerry has ever done. And I realized we're going to have basically a John Kerry segment later, but that's okay because Howie Carr might call in. And that's
always fun. It's the only choice for somebody like me.
And so you have that to look forward to. But right now, what I wanted to do, I feel like a lot of times this is a New England show. We talk about what's going on here in the crazy state of Massachusetts. We often talk about California because everything nutty is always happening in California. But there's another place we sometimes forget about. And specifically, well, Jared, take it away.
The bluest skies you've ever seen are in Seattle. And the hills, the greenest green in Seattle.
Now, I found myself, you guys know I love the website, The Post Millennial. It's one of my favorite sites to go on. They always have updates on woke news, on mask incidences of people getting arrested at school board meetings. Really great stuff on that website. And I was clicking on a lot of different articles that had to do with Seattle and the state of Washington in general. And then I realized they were all by the same author, Ari Hoffman. Ari is joining the show now for the first time. Ari, thanks so much for coming on The Grace Curley Show.
My absolute pleasure to be here.
Now, Ari, can we start with the story about the militant from Seattle who's being sentenced for an attempted attack on Trump supporters in Florida? This story really stuck out to me, and I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it except for you. So give my listeners a bit of a background here.
Absolutely. I can't believe the story hasn't made national news. So let's go back in time for a little bit here to 2020 during the autonomous zone in Seattle. We know that six people were shot in the autonomous zone. Two of them died. All of them were black teenagers. The last shooting before the place was shut down over the course of a month, the last shooting was two black teenagers. And they were driving an SUV, and nobody really knew who shot them. And the theory at the time was they were shot by all these guys playing security guard for the Antifa and BLM activists in the autonomous zone. So at the time, and I was in the autonomous zone quite often, and the last day before they shut it down, while they were cleaning the place out, I was talking to security guards, I was talking to police, and this name Dan Baker kept coming around of this guy who was most likely one of the shooters. They all assumed it was him. Everybody inside the shop, including the activists, were saying it was this guy, Dan Baker, and then nothing. No investigation, nothing. So me and my research crew, which means a few, you know, fans of mine online, we did some work. And basically what we did was we found some audio clips of this guy's voice. We found pictures of him at the scene. We found screenshots on his social media of him saying he took weapons and removed them from the crime scene. And yet no charges were filed. Nobody ever even spoke to this guy. He fled as soon as the autonomous zone shut down. Fast forward to January 2021. This guy, Dan Baker, is arrested in Tallahassee, Florida, because he was planning on rounding up Trump supporters who were going out to protest the results of the election. So now he got sentenced the other day to, I believe it was, 3 years in jail. But at the same time, this guy may have literally gotten away with murder, and we may never know.
It's an unbelievable story. You just summed it up there pretty quickly, but there's a lot that goes into it. And in this story, you have screenshots, you have, you know, posts that this person has made. So I encourage everyone to check that out. And I don't want to move on too quickly here, Ari, but we do have a lot to cover. And another thing I wanted to ask you about was another story that you posted. Washington state agencies brace for staffing disaster following Inslee's vaccine deadline. And we actually played audio that did go viral of a state trooper, I believe it was, who was resigning over the patrol radio. And I actually want to play a little bit of this for my audience and then have you react.
State 1034, this is the last time you'll hear me in a state patrol car. And Jay Inslee can kiss my ass.
Is that sentiment really getting spread throughout Washington? I mean, I keep seeing his name over and over again. People seem very fed up by this. Is it backfiring on Jay Inslee?
Well, here's what happened yesterday. The final count so far of people who were terminated by this order from Washington state agencies is 1,900 employees. That's just state and agencies. That's not counting city agencies, not counting anything else. It's also not counting all the people who took early retirement, transferred, quit, et cetera, before the mandate went into effect. And there's a lot, so we're trying to get those numbers right now. But yesterday, I joined the Seattle Fire Department, Seattle police officers, who marched to City Hall and left their boots on the steps of Seattle City Hall to signify that they were done, they're out, because they're not complying with the mandate. And what's ridiculous was the Seattle Fire Chief, Chief Scoggins, was asked, how many incidents have there been of transmission of the virus from a firefighter to an individual they were helping? And the answer was zero. So they put these guys out in the field as essential workers. And remember, everybody banging on their pots and pans out of respect for these guys, as good as that did. And now all of a sudden, they're a risk to all of us. Meanwhile, they don't seem to care at all about all the homeless people all over the streets, the people shooting themselves up with heroin, the people committing massive amounts of crimes, the spike in crime in Seattle. They don't seem to care about any of that. Apparently now the threat is our own emergency first responders.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up what's actually happening in Seattle, because before you came on, I just did a quick Google search. And when I typed in Seattle, you know, it generates the auto responses of what they think you're going to ask. And some of the questions were, you know, is Seattle safe? Is Seattle depressing? Is Seattle a good place to live? Is Seattle better than Chicago? I mean, tell people what it really is like there right now.
So I grew up in New York, and I went to school in Washington Heights, which is not the best neighborhood in Manhattan, and I was never afraid for my safety. I really wasn't. I went to college there for a few years. You know, I spent my whole life growing up in New York. And when I moved out here, it was exactly like that song you played in the intro from that old TV show. It was exactly like that. Beautiful, gorgeous, the Emerald City. Over the past 5-6 years, the homeless problem has grown out of control, and that's because the Seattle City Council continues to encourage the behavior. There's open-air drug use. Downtown is like something out of a zombie apocalypse. Nobody's working there because Amazon said their employees don't have to come back. So the place is really taken over by all the drug addicts, but now they've spread out to other surrounding cities. One, because there's no resources, there's nobody for them to beg from, there's less and less people for them to steal from. So there's that, but on top of that is that the King County, which is where Seattle is, they're spreading them throughout the county, and they're moving them into very nice neighborhoods as well. So the difference between the way New York used to be, I haven't been back to New York in a few years, but the way it used to be was, you know where the bad areas were, you don't go to the bad neighborhoods. That's how it goes. The problem is in Seattle, it really can be anywhere. You can go next to the Space Needle, and you'll see people sleeping on the side, or you'll see people shooting up heroin, and crime is rampant. We're on track to beat our homicide record from last year, which was a record in a quarter of a century, and they think it's only going to get worse. I mean, here, people are concerned because they've defunded the Seattle Police Department so much. We've lost hundreds of officers. Your response times for a 911 call can be over an hour. Oh. I mean, imagine calling 911 and nobody's there. That's what people are worried about here, and a lot of people are not staying.
Yeah, and Ari, I'm speaking with Ari Hoffman from the Post Millennial. In your piece, about what's happening in Seattle. You actually have a couple of tweets embedded in this piece, and one of them is a Let's Go Brandon chant that happened in Seattle. And Katie Daviscourt actually wrote that the freedom flu grows stronger each day. The reason I bring that up is because when I talk to people about Seattle, specifically older people who remember it the way you do when you first moved there, they say they don't understand the limousine liberals who live in Seattle. There are people who have a lot of money there who keep voting for Democrats and keep voting for these policies that have obviously led to a lot of destruction in their communities. Do you see those people waking up, or are they just going to move and bring their voting habits with them?
I'm unsure. I wish I could give you a definitive answer. There's a very contentious race going on for Seattle City Attorney. That's the person who decides which crimes to prosecute. One of the people who's running is an Antifa activist who encourages rioting, who says property destruction is a moral imperative, has hundreds and hundreds of tweets supporting Antifa, just completely bashing the cops and promoting destruction. And this person made it to the finals, and the person they're running against is a Democrat who became a Republican because the party destroyed her when she ran for office for another office previously. So she said, no more of this, I'm going the Republican Party. So all the local outlets are writing things like, well, you have this Antifa activist who supports violence, but you know the other one's a Republican.
Oh,
I mean, we will see if Seattle has actually woken up and said, okay, we can't elect a psychopath. You know, maybe we can bring ourselves to elect the Republican. So that's what's going on right now. Also, in some of those areas where you have the Champagne liberals, the Chardonnay liberals, some of them, there's none of this homeless there because the city council members live in a lot of those areas. And they say, we're going to keep them out of those areas because we live there. Or because we know where our bread is buttered, and if this stuff actually goes into those neighborhoods, we're going to lose our next election.
Wow. Ari Hoffman, it's been a pleasure interviewing you. I hope we have you on again soon. Ari has all of his work at the Postmillennial. But Ari, you're also on Twitter. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Sure, they can find me at the Hoffather, T-H-E-H-O-F-F-A-T-H-E-R, at Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us. All right, everyone, we will be back, 844-500-4242. I want to talk about the left canceling Halloween, because Carol Markowitz is talking about this, and it's not, if you thought it was going to end with Columbus Day, you were mistaken. We will be right back with a lot more sound, and we have Memory Lane coming up at 1:30. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Excited to be here. We have a lot more to get to. Let's go to the calls. David, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, David.
Oh, hi, Grace. You know, did I hear right Biden say that he was 180 years ago?
Were you listening to The Loop? Yeah. We play these Biden sounds while people wait on the line. And it's probably what he said. If you heard it on The Loop, it's probably true.
Well, it's funny because if he claims he's from Delaware, I think, right? I saw some guy that looked a lot like him in Charleston 180 years ago, but I don't know that it was him. Anyway, you know what I was really interested in? I don't know if you're familiar with currency speculators, but they'll take a bad situation and make it worse just so they could play an economy. So in other words, during like 100 years ago, World War One, there were people that would put nasty newsletters together. They'd put fake news stories together to drag the war on, World War One, and they would make they would praise one country, and then 6 weeks later they'd be cursing that country and praising another country, and they would do it just to raise the currency here and lower it there, so they could basically be currency speculators.
Got it.
And they got a lot of people killed in World War One that way. And when you start looking at the management of COVID right now, it's pretty plain that's what's going on. There are people that do not care about America. They don't care about Russia. They don't care about Europe. They don't care about China. They just want to play currencies against each other. And they, in World War One, one of those currency speculators was called the most evil man in the world because he was playing both sides.
Well, it's interesting you should bring that up, David, and your talk about the economy, because Biden's approval is slipping still. We've been talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, but there's a new Quinnipiac poll out, and when they asked respondents what they care the most about, and a lot of times with Joe Biden, you keep hearing him saying that we need this $3.5 trillion spending bill, and we need all this relief from COVID, and we need to spend more money and more money and more money. And the economy is number one for people right now. It's followed by COVID and then immigration. So I think that Joe Manchin was actually onto something when he said, listen, we have a lot in our plates right now. We cannot just start spending irresponsibly and expect this economy to be able to take it. Inflation is a real thing. We're seeing it right now, and I don't think it's transitory. I think this is something that we have to worry about. And their response is always to throw trillions and trillions and trillions of more dollars at it, which I don't really understand. Now, Jared, you actually had an update on Joe Manchin for us from Mother Jones, which I'm not very familiar with them. I know they're a liberal site, but give us the update.
Yeah, so if Axios was a teenager with pink hair, it would be Mother Jones.
Got it.
Let's put it that way. But yes, David Korn from Mother Jones is reporting that Joe Manchin has told associates he is considering leaving the Democratic Party, and he has an exit strategy. It does not say whether he is going to become an independent or to become a Republican, but
does his exit strategy involve driving away on his houseboat? Someone had to say it. I love the houseboat. Don't come for me. I love the houseboat. I think it's adorable, and I think it's eco-friendly. And I like it. And I like the name of it. What's the name of it again? Something to do with that song. West Virginia.
Sweet Home West Virginia or something.
No. It's Almost Heaven. That's the name of it.
Yes. Almost Heaven are going to Barbados.
And I'm a Republican. Oh, this was bound to happen. I hope he does it and just drives everybody crazy.
Well, wait till they kick Sinema out of the party. That's coming next.
By the way, have we seen Sinema lately? I mean, I know she went to Europe, but that didn't give the Bernie bros a good idea of what bathrooms to knock on. She wasn't very specific. Now, I am going to do the poll question quickly because then I want to set up the next segment, and I'm hoping that it's a success because I want to do it more than once. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What will Scranton Joe mention first today? Coal mines, corn pop, his pop, Jill's husband, or football?
I'm Jill's husband. He likes that line that he stole from JFK that was actually kind of cute and funny when JFK said it, and it's not cute nor funny now.
Jill's husband still in the lead at 33%. Coal mines second place at 30%. 25% for his pop, 11% for corn pop, and only 2% for football.
Got it. All right, let's get the Jen Psaki cut ready with the treadmill, because this is really going to get us into what we are about to talk about. In the next segment, I would like to do a full segment on memory lane. We're taking a trip down memory lane. And what that means is I want you to really think about a moment where a politician said something or did something that showed you that they really are not connected to Joe Sixpack. They are not connected to the regular Americans. I obviously can think of a million from Jen Psaki and this administration in particular. You know, when she said they were advertising on NASCAR and all that stuff. But what I'm looking for the callers is some throwbacks. I'm talking 80s, 90s, early 2000s. We want the let them eat cake moments. We want to hear from you. 844-500-4242. And if you guys don't come up with them, Howie Carr will. So don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone. All right. So I've been very excited about this. And it came to me this morning when I realized that Jen Psaki talking about the treadmill yesterday really rubbed people the wrong way. It seems her smugness has caught up to her. She always has like the air of condescension when she's answering these questions. She does it all the time. She actually said to Peter Ducey when he asked about the illegal aliens being flown into New York in the middle of the night, "Well, I wouldn't call it the middle of the night, Peter." And he said, 2:30 a.m.? Well, you know, she really thinks that this is playing well with the American people. And so when she's asked about these supply chain issues, she decided to mock everyone and downplay them. And this is what she said.
2020, when COVID hit, that the supply chains across the world have been disrupted. Even as the sort of work to fight back against COVID proceeded, it was crystal clear that things were not improving on supply chain. People couldn't get dishwashers and furniture and treadmills delivered on time, not to mention all sorts of other things. So why
the
is
the tragedy
it,
of the short the treadmill that's delayed?
Right, the treadmill problem.
Haha, very funny. People can't get the stuff they need, and this is a joke. Now, this got me thinking. This is not the first time where someone has said something like this. In fact, over the past couple of months specifically, there's been a lot of arrogant, condescending moments from our political elite, whether that be, you know, going to weddings or officiating weddings without masks on, getting haircuts when no one else could get haircuts, going to French Laundry when no one else could go out to dinner. I mean, the list goes on and on. And in fact, Jen Psaki actually has been the author of a lot of these moments. At one point, she said, "Oh yeah, we're advertising on NASCAR and on all these things." There's this real snobby attitude that's happening. So what I want to do right now, and we'll see if this works, I want to take a trip down memory lane.
I thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
Now, what ended up happening was I put this out on Twitter, and I said, listen, we're going to do this. We'll see what suggestions we get. And we ended up getting a lot of really recent ones and then also a lot of John Kerry ones. John Kerry was like 9 out of 10 of them. And so that obviously made me think to myself, all right, we got to get Howie on here. And we will get to that. But first, I want to throw it out to the callers. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're next with Grace. What is your let them eat cake moment that really made you realize that a politician was out of touch with Joe Sixpack?
Bill?
Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry, not Bill. back when John McCain was running the Republican presidential primary, I attended a hometown meeting or a town hall meeting at the Guilford, New Hampshire Fire Department, and I got to ask him a question, and I prefaced it by saying, this may sound simplistic, however, why can't we leave the philanthropy around this world to help all these countries out that have a track record of never paying back what we give them, or hate us to begin with? Why can't we leave that up to the philanthropists rather than and take care of Americans first? And he cut me off and he said, well, you're exactly right. That is very simplistic and very naive. He said, you have to realize that having these countries as allies is more important than anything to us right now. And I just couldn't believe his response. That's when, you know, he lost me on that one.
Yeah, because there is this idea from the political elite that we can't understand things and that we don't understand how things work. I just wrote a column about this where it's everything under Trump was he made the wrong decision. That was the wrong decision. That was the wrong decision. And now that they're in power again, we're being told every time there's an issue, oh, it's really complicated. You wouldn't understand it. It's too complex. It's really tricky. You're naive. You're simplistic. And it just shows you their arrogance because a lot of this stuff isn't that complicated. A lot of this stuff comes down to sheer incompetence. That's what it is. Very good, Bill. I like that one because I wouldn't have known that. 844-500-4242. One that I always think of is Nancy Pelosi at the beginning of the pandemic showing off her freezers, plural, full of fancy Jenny's ice cream.
Speaker Pelosi, what have you found? What are you going to share with us from your home?
Chocolate.
Really?
Chocolate candy.
Oh, wow.
And this is something you can get through the mail.
Okay.
Ugh.
Run out.
Show me. Yeah, absolutely. This is the episode of Cribs I never knew I needed.
She's really like the kid who comes into show and tell with like a puppy. You know, everyone else has this like lame toy or their hamster and she comes in with a puppy. I got this. Everyone want to look at it? so obnoxious. But there's so many examples of this. So I called up Howie today and I was asking him, like, give me some real throwbacks. And he started going on and on and on. And then I thought, these might be better delivered by Howie himself. Howard Lawrence Carr, thanks for joining the show.
Can I get me a hunting license here?
Howie, the thread on my Twitter became all about John Kerry. I'm talking fire hydrant, the boat in Rhode Island. The list went on
me.
And on.
There's also me. There's you know, whatever you throw the me in there, how about the fake Indian? I'm going to get me a beer.
Can I get me a hunting license here?
Oh, and Howie, one Twitter user, at Steven, says, John Kerry Hines talking about how those who don't go to college end up in the Army. I do remember that.
Right, and all of his jokes about the Italian Army, too. Remember that? And there's so many with John Kerry. How about when he went to Philadelphia during the primary, I guess, when he was running in 2004? And so he's going in to get one of those famous cheesesteaks. And, of course, they put on the cheese whiz, Velveeta, something like that. Can I get me some Swiss cheese on that, please? And then in 2004, when he was going around pretending to be a Red Sox fan, go, I've just got the latest from the old ball yard. Tigers 3, Red Stockings 5.
You know what the funny thing is about John Kerry, though, Howie, is that some of his moments, his really cringeworthy ones, are when he's trying to relate to the common man. And I think that's always a mistake people make. If you were born with a silver spoon or if you have a lot of money, right, you shouldn't try to pander to people who you think you can relate to if you can't. But the thing about this administration, and specifically that Jen Psaki cut, is that they're at this point just outwardly mocking people and kind of making fun of this class of people that they see as beneath them.
They have no self-awareness either. I mean, you know, last week Biden is in Connecticut, right, for this dedication of this new library or something at UConn at Storrs for the Dodds, Senator Thomas Dodd, who was basically run out of the Senate for corruption in the late 60s. And Christopher Dodd, who was Ted Kennedy's drinking buddy, and you know he was the one who put patches into Providence College where you went. I mean, he's another Providence grad, Chris Dodd, and so Joe Biden goes up there and he says, you know, he's a real man of the people, or words to that effect. Chris Dodd, he would never be mean to a waitress. Never be. Chris Dodd was the other half of the waitress sandwich with Ted Kennedy back in D.C. back in the 1980s. And you know, Joe Biden should know that better than me or any of the reporters or any of the people in the audience. But he didn't. He just doesn't care. He's just used to saying whatever the hell comes into his mind.
Absolutely. Now, Howie, before we get to more, because I do want you to tell the story about the rubbers, the boots. But before we get to that, let's go to a call here. Ted, you're next with Howie and Grace. What is your Let Them Eat Cake memory, Ted?
My favorite Let Them Eat Cake memory, Grace, is when Jimmy Carter in the 70s, as we were waiting on gas lines, Howie remembers those. He took the television and told us to turn down our thermostats and wear a sweater.
That's a very good one. See, Howie, this is what I mean. I like these throwbacks because the list I have here is, you know, John Kerry saying it's the only choice for someone like me about
his friend. It's the only choice for somebody like me.
Pelosi getting her hair cut and her hair colored. Mm-hmm. But I want the ones from back in, you know, in people's Rolodex.
I remember I was driving back from Maine, back to Massachusetts in the late 1970s, maybe 1980, on a Sunday night. And Jimmy Carter came on and I was listening to him on the radio driving south. And he said, we have a national malaise. And I'm sure that like 150 or 200 million other Americans, I immediately thought to myself, and who created this national malaise?
Tell people, Howie, the story that you told me today about when it started to rain and one politician.
There was a guy in Rhode Island. His name was Claiborne Pell. There's a history of these imperious Yankees going up to Chafee, Lincoln Chafee. And so they're all these Yankees. They're really rich. They're totally disconnected from reality. They're very John Kerry-like. You know, Sheldon Whitehouse is another one today. But anyway, Claiborne Pell, they called him Stillborn Pell. and he was probably is more disconnected than most. So it was raining. He was campaigning, and it was raining, and he didn't want to ruin his shoes, and it was very wet and all that. So he said to his aide, "Can you go out and get me a nice pair of rubbers somewhere?" And so they dispatched an aide to go to the shoe store and get him some, and he puts them back on, and he's really satisfied with them. They saved his shoes, and he didn't get his feet wet and his socks wet. And so at the end of the day, he goes, "These are the best mucklucks I've ever had. Where did you get these?" And the guy said, "Tom McCann's, Senator." And Claiborne Bell says, "Well, the next time you see Tom, tell him thanks a lot."
Oh, they're all so relatable, aren't they? Let's go to the calls again. Steve, you're next with Howie and Grace. We're talking Let Them Eat Cake moments by some of our favorite politicians. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello?
Yeah, Steve, turn down your radio, but go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Kerry had his yacht built in, I don't know if it was Australia or New Zealand. And we
New
had
Zealand,
a, we
I
had
think.
A very, yeah, we had a very bad recession at that point. And this bum goes and has it built there. All the workers and the shipyards around this country, he has to go halfway around the world to have it built. And then Howie, as you know, the tax thing, he didn't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, it's an excise tax. An excise tax, you have to pay it on a car, but you also have to pay it on a boat to the city or town that you live in. And so he was living in Nantucket at the time. But and the yacht, it was his second wife's first husband's trust fund's consolation prize to him after he lost the election in 2004, and it cost like $6-7 million. So I mean, he's going to be paying hefty excise taxes in Nantucket.
It's a lot of swish. It's a lot of swish cheese, Howie.
Yes, it's a lot of penis straws and pink girly bicycles and all the rest of those things that just make life worth living, don't you know?
And so let's not get silly here.
So he registers the damn thing in Newport, Rhode Island. Newport, Rhode Island. And you know, I always wondered now, Grace, that now that we know about Sheldon Whitehouse, you know, and those KKK clubs that he belongs to, again, all Yankee clubs, you and I couldn't get into those clubs. I wondered, did he register it at Sheldon Whitehouse's club? Because we never found out where he registered the damn boat.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Howie, do you have time for one more call?
Sure.
Ronnie, you're next with Howie and Grace. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Grace, I love your show. Woker Joke is the greatest segment I've ever heard on a show.
Oh, thank you.
That said, I have to disagree with you on this. I think Peter Ducey made this way too easy for Jen Psaki. Like, the supply chain issue has us running out of bread, eggs, milk, cars, like the essentials, and he's listing off luxury items as if that's what he may as well have just said, what are you going to do about these supply chain problems? We've got people waiting months for their Fabergé eggs
diamond-encrusted
slippers.
Ronnie, you make a good point, but I should add this in. It was not Peter Ducey who asked about this. This was actually a journalist from the New York Times. So that kind of explains why the question was a little bit, softened for her. Oh, there's treadmills that are on delay, when really you could have said there's paper goods, there's razor blades, there's things, everyday Americans need. But it's this overall vibe from this administration, and it's not just Jen Psaki. Ronald Klain is retweeting things about how these are high-class problems. This isn't Swiss cheese and pink bicycles, Howard. This is real people stuff.
No, you want to hear Mike Dukakis lost for governor in 1978 because he was so totally disconnected from, average people, right? So he's running again in 1982, and they bring in some union guys for him to talk to, and he's supposed to show he's an average guy, and so they're sitting on Perry Street in his living room or something, and Mike goes, hey, do you fellows want a brew?
Oh gosh.
And so they're like looking at each other like, this must be the new Mike Dukakis. And so they say, sure, Governor. Well, yeah, we'll take a brew. And so Dukakis comes out, goes into the kitchen, and then he comes back, and he's got one 12-ounce beer and two glasses.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, the humanity. Oh, the cringe. Wow. All right, Howie, that's all the time we have for today, but I would say this was a success. This was a trip down memory lane.
I thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
Now, we will be back with more after the break, but I have to tell you guys that the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of the Eden Pure's best-selling products, and now Eden Pure is offering my listeners a special Thunderstorm 3-pack. One user writes, I'm surprised at how well this small unit works. I noticed a difference almost immediately. I purchased the 3-pack, and I'm happy I did. You'll never regret getting the 3-pack, because every time you get one of these Thunderstorms, you're going to want more. I mean, I know people who have had 5 or 6, and so some of those people wish they had originally bought the 3-pack so they could have gotten a better deal. This is a really good deal. You'll save $200 on the Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack, which means you'll get 3 units for under $200 and you will save $200. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier is small and light, and it works in a matter of minutes. The best part, you don't have to replace any air filters. It's just a really good product. And some of these can cost up to $600. They're huge. This is small. It's like the size of a computer charger. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. We will be right back with an update on Brian Stelter's show, Reliable Sources. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, let's go to Bob really quick. He's been waiting on the line. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Grace, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I'm wondering if, being that you're a smart person, if these 30% that aren't vaccinated, unvaccinated guys like me, if they would all get vaccinated, they're probably, most of them have underlying conditions. How many would die then?
I have no idea. I mean, it's very hard to understand what's happening. I mean, a lot of times when someone sadly does pass away, they say that they are not all the time, but sometimes they are vaccinated from COVID, and it still seems to be something that can kill you if you have underlying conditions. So I don't know. Everyone has to make their own choice, and that's really what this is about. I always say I'm very pro-vaccine, but I don't like to tell people what to do, especially in regards to their health. Talk to your doctors. Really quickly here, Jared, can we don't even have to play the intro. This is a little bit of journalism in the news. Brian Stelter loses in the ratings to reruns of The Golden Girls.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again.
SpongeBob. Peppa Pig. I one time made a mistake on this show and I called it Peppa the Pig. And I got some heat.
I remember the pitchforks outside the studio.
People were saying, it's Peppa Pig.